Hello and welcome to A Guy With Books podcast. My name is Don, and I'm that guy, and I'm also your host. Today is going to be a different podcast. We're not going to talk about poetry, but I wanted to spend some time and talk about history. Just a little tidbit, because I recently picked up a book that was published in the 1850s. It's a Headley's Life of George Washington. And so I wanted to take a little snapshot out of that book and talk a little bit about it. And, you know, along with my love for history from colonial times, from Revolutionary War times, I also love a good cup of tea. And this morning I'm sitting here in my studio at home. My family is still tucked away asleep. It's very early this morning, about 5:30. And my cat is next to me here in the office, purring a little bit. And this tea that I'm having is a cacao tea. And Martha Washington used to take cacao shells or coca shells, and she used to make this tea. And Martha enjoyed drinking cacao shell tea, which she made from those roasted shells, and she would sip it primarily for breakfast. And George Washington once wrote to an agent, he said something like, "She will thank you to get 20 pounds of shells of coca nuts if they can be had from the chocolate makers." And as I take a sip, the aroma is of, wow. I mean, it's unique. It's a little bit toasty. The aroma is very chocolatey. And, you know, you have to steep it for about 8 to 10 minutes. You know, they like to say 5 minutes, but to get that full bodied chocolate taste from the cacao shell, I would say 10 minutes. And it has strong notes of chocolate and light flavor actually of melon. And, you know, it's caffeine free naturally. And, you know, I think it heats at like 195 degrees. But Oliver Pluff and Company out of Charleston, South Carolina is where you can pick that up. And you can get the cacao tea from Martha Washington. And that's at Oliver Pluff and Company out of Charleston, South Carolina. You can look them up online. I'll include a link in the top in my bio. But before we get started, friends, I'd like to introduce myself for those of you who are new to the podcast. I'm a business executive. I'm also a husband and a father. And I'm a dad to two cats, Bean and Olive, which we actually call little girl. She's just a little thing. I love old art, paintings, history. I enjoy watercolor painting. I listen to a lot of classical music. I'm actually into, I guess you want to say, what I'm listening to now is the soundtrack to the television series Hannibal. And I encourage you to check out the soundtrack because it is chock full of some beautiful, beautiful music. I'm also an antique collector. I collect noisy Edison phonographs, you know, the ones with the loud gold horn and the wax cylinders. And I love the smell of old books from the 1800s. And I also collect those really old, creepy tintype photographs, you know, the ones that are kind of hard to see. And I love old cameras. And so while I enjoy my cacao tea from Oliver Pluff, I encourage you to go ahead and grab your favorite hot beverage, or also like me, you might want to grab your favorite smoking pipe with a little cherry tobacco or a little vanilla bourbon tobacco. And let's go ahead and talk about our topic today, which is the mysterious death of George Washington. On December 14th of 1799, George Washington died at his home after a brief illness and after losing nearly 40% of his blood. So what killed the 67-year-old former president? Modern medical experts have narrowed it down to several likely reasons for why Washington fell ill and died in a 21-hour period. But the illness as diagnosed by his physicians isn't one of those likely to cause death. And it was the same group of physicians that let massive amounts of Washington's blood in an attempt to cure him. So what we do know is based on contemporary accounts, including those of Tobias Lear, Washington's secretary, and 2 days earlier, an apparently healthy Washington rode around his estate at Mount Vernon on a cold and miserable day. According to Lear, Washington decided to stay in his wet clothes after riding around his estate so that he could be on time for dinner. And that night, Washington woke up his wife, Martha, to say that he was feeling terribly sick and that he could hardly breathe or talk on his own. And the former president asked his overseer, who was Albin Rawlings, to bleed him. And doctors then arrived later and bled him 4 more times over the next 8 hours, with a total blood loss of more than 40%. Washington also gargled with a mixture of molasses, vinegar, and butter. He inhaled a steam of vinegar and hot water. And his throat was also swabbed with a salve in a preparation of dried beetles. An enema was also used, and by late afternoon, Washington knew that he was dying and asked for his will. Washington's last words, said Lear, were spoken around 10 p.m. on December 14th. And he said, "I am just going. Have me decently buried, and do not let my body be put into the vault less than 3 days after I am dead." Then he asked, "Do you understand me?" And his final two words, "'Tis well." And since the death in 1799, medical practitioners have tried to ascertain what killed the former president so quickly. And at the time, Washington's doctors considered 4 possible reasons for his demise, and the consensus was the croup, an inflammation of the glottis, the larynx, or upper part of the trachea that obstructed Washington's airway. But over several years, different theories have emerged. In 1917, one doctor theorized that Washington died from diphtheria. And then a decade later, another theory arose that Washington suffered from septic sore throat, probably more like strep, associated with acute edema of the larynx. But in recent years, a different theory has emerged. Dr. Howard Markle, writing for PBS.com in 2014, summarized the findings, cited research from Dr. David Morens in the New England Journal of Medicine. He said that in the 215 years since Washington died, several diagnoses have been offered, ranging from the croup, Quincy, Ludwig's angina, Vincent's angina, diphtheria, strep, and also acute pneumonia. But Dr. Morin's suggestion of acute bacterial epiglottitis seems to be most likely, said Dr. Markle. Now, not everyone agrees with this theory, with inflammatory Quincy or the periotonsillar abscess as another possible killer. However, none of these diagnoses quite fit the description of Washington's terminal illness. But on the other hand, acute epiglottitis does explain all of his symptoms and his demise. And one doctor said, "His illness is a classic textbook case of acute epiglottitis," wrote by Dr. White Mackenzie Walborn from the University of Virginia back in 1997. Another debate has centered on the massive bloodletting and the ignoring suggestion of a tracheotomy as a possible main contributor to Washington's death. Morin said back in 1999 that the bloodletting likely didn't kill a man of Washington's size and stature, and that the little used tracheotomy was only occasionally successful. The truth of the matter is that they did their best with what they could with the knowledge that they had. You know, using now antiquated and discredited theories of medical practice. So, what do you think? Do you think it was the bloodletting? Do you think it was croup? Do you think it was pneumonia? Let me know. Hit me up in the comments. But thank you so much for joining me for a Guy with Books podcast. I hope you enjoyed our short time together, and I'll be back soon with another interesting nugget that you could share with your friends. Be sure to visit me on Instagram at Leader at Work, and you can actually go there and see a copy of this Washington book that I was talking about. So that's at Leader at Work, or also on Instagram at Books and Time, or visit me on Facebook. Just do a search for Donald Mast and you'll find me. And then one last place, hit me up on Twitter at Leader at Work. So I say goodbye and have a blessed day and be safe.